Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
I am told that the sea is a massive thing, that one could die just wondering its vastness. While we have no such thing in my homeland of Barovia, I am well aware of the feelings of isolation that a place without walls can conjure. For we are the prisoners of one Strahd von Zarovich. I will slay this vampire so that my people may once more breathe free in the sunshine.
As the Archdruid, I have a favor to ask. Could you help me bury Orion?
Tarpos takes you to a quiet clearing in the woods around Kuchuri. The clearing has a single grand-looking oak tree in its very center.
Is this a good spot?
Tarpos stands silently and just gives you as much time as you need.
Start turning around, maybe seeing Pip.
She's
not going to interrupt.
Okay,
but you
good.
Can see she wants to.
I'm giving you like a look like, we all good? Can we interrupt?
Yeah. Wipe the crusted mud from my face a little bit. And the gore.
Yeah, we stink.
Damn. Yeah, I start walking over. Sorry, yes. Is there something
no need
that's
to
needed?
Apologize. Iona wants to talk to Eleniel if you can organize that.
Yes.
If possible, I wish to speak with her directly, not through an intermediary. It must be directly.
Of course.
There's a tree right
there. There's a tree right there. Well, we'll go to where the oak tree.
Sure.
I guess there. I'll see if she's there. I like just reach out and do what I usually did of trying to communicate with her or trying to reach out to see if any. Well, I don't want to say anyone.
Don't ever say it. No.
It's too late. It's happening. Your soul belongs to friends.
Damn. Reaching out to see if Eleniel is there or that other entity, the Alabaster one.
Mm.
But mostly, to see if like Eleniel is there, and I will wait. If they're not there, like I'll mention to Eleniel they're not there, but I can wait. We can wait a little bit.
The alabaster entity appears before you. You get not them, but more like an avatar of them. A light, a golden light. As you've seen before, you see alabaster skin, golden hair, blue piercing eyes now.
A hunk.
Babe City.
A strong physically body, but also a keen mind. And a wash of compassion and love, endless, deep as the ocean.
Okay.
So deep that you could find yourself lost in it.
I reach out to that entity. I think I was weary that it was some sort of, Strahd. But now maybe I'm like,
you're in a very vulnerable position too,
Again, love,
someone's offering you a lot of love and compassion. It's the time.
I reach out and try to connect there.
It is reaching out to you as well. You need only accept the connection.
I accept the connection.
For a moment, you feel like you could be lost. You lose all sense of time and place. You forget who you are for what feels like decades, perhaps even centuries.
It's so nice. It's a bliss.
You settle down into a warm, comforting sensation. A strong, powerful sense that you are safe and loved. And then, maybe after decades, maybe after seconds, the entity picks you up and wordlessly it shows you a visage of Eleniel. And then it shows you a visage of Iona. It shows them holding hands. There's some metaphor to this that you don't quite truly comprehend, but the entity is showing you them together. And then it releases you. It's a gentle thing. It's not sudden. Slowly the entity lets go and you get the sense that the love has not withdrawn. The compassion is not gone. It's still there. It's still waiting for you to return next to it. But the entity, it cannot, It cannot have you forever, and it does not want you forever. It wants you back where you are, and then you are standing at the oak tree. Pip, that took no time at all.
Okay, he's just touching the tree for me.
I blink a couple times. I have a look around.
It does not look like any time has passed.
No, Elenio, hang on. Sorry. I hand again and reach
out. The entity welcomes you back in again. You feel once again that endless compassion and love washing over you like the rays of the sun or perhaps grass underneath your feet. However Hector chooses to imagine this sensation, the most comforting way is how it presents itself.
I imagine like sea breeze off, like hitting his face on like a very tall cliff. Like he's like a tall, very tall cliff out and seeing out in the ocean. Just a very gentle breeze hitting his face.
The entity, the angel, shows you a visage now just of Iona, and there's an insistence there. The entity wishes Iona.
Right. Iona, I can't find Elenio, but somebody wants to talk to you.
Iona pushes past you and puts her hand on the tree. You watch from Pip's perspective as the same thing happens to Iona. A moment passes. It's less than a couple of seconds, and then Iona slides down the side of the tree. Her knees hit the ground, and she starts weeping openly.
I shrug.
Is she okay? What?
Tears well in her eyes, and you see it's joy. A big smile splits her face.
Good news, then.
So the
Elenio is unavailable at this moment, but she is well, safe for now.
Yes.
That is what is important, as is our child.
I give you a look like,
right, I thought, all right, I didn't. Right, I'm so sorry, I didn't even mention that she was. So much has gone on.
It's been, who's in the tree?
I do not know, an intermediary. Iona stands up. I will make preparations. So Kuchery must be kept safe, but Elenio will be safe for now as well. I will be coming with you.
Yeah.
I hope you would have me.
I would never.
I must see Elenio again.
Of course. Of course. Sorry, you said our child.
Yes. Iona does not elaborate further. She starts walking back towards Kuchery.
I don't know, man.
I start scratching my head like, how does Elvish?
Well, I knew a lot about the gestation period, but everything else eludes me.
You know the classic way that a baby is made.
It's funny if you're like, how? And I'm like, am I going to have to explain? Does he not know? Oh God. Okay.
Like, I know. I know. There's like with half elves, and it's to do with even that is a very rare. Because the elves live so long, it's a very rare thing to have a child.
I don't know, man. Could be magic. Could be anything.
Right. To be honest, I thought it was keening. I just look away.
People are keen. How many people is keening and boning?
I hope not. Thank God it's not.
There's some rustling in the bushes, and you turn around to see John Cavendish stepping out.
John! Thank the God.
John!
Our good friend. John.
I'm terribly sorry. Am I interrupting?
No.
No.
Right. Well, two quick things. The first one is your presence is required, as the people of Kuchery are not going to stand with the engineer being around. So it's really honestly coming to a loggerhead on this
one. Right.
It's either take him,
of course, we didn't
part
put
of
him
your
in
party, or the people of Kuchery are going to string him up.
We didn't put him
he
in.
He seems quite unperturbed by either scenario. Also, you might want to just, I understand that I'm very sorry for your loss. If you wish this place to remain undisturbed by Gorob and Loshen, who I had to divert on my way here,
thank you, John.
You might want to head back to town.
Thank you, John. Thank you. Let's leave.
Did you need the stone they're carrying?
No. What?
not at all.
Oh right. But they've got a stone and a. Yeah.
a very unhappy looking bird.
Yes, we.
No, I get it. Yeah, yeah. You don't even need to explain. I'm across it.
Right. Right. Let us go deal with this all.
We can, with the engineer, we don't have to take him with us.
I know.
But I'm letting you know. I don't think he cares if he dies.
That's even
it
more.
It really seems to be the case.
That seems even more worrying.
Yeah, but I'm just.
Yes. It's just,
Let's go. Let's go.
Let's just go have a look at least.
You head back to Kuchery.
Mm-hmm.
Tarpos peels off at one point. And says, stay at Pavel's house outside city. Kuchery, bad for me.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
She peels off.
Thank you. Gorham Lushan father, right?
Gorham Lushan are unknown. You can ask Cavendish where he said he diverted them, but not where.
I'm sure Cavendish took care of it.
Yeah, that's not for us to know right now.
I don't have to talk to him, so.
Yeah.
They're annoying.
Exactly. Perfect. Yep, sweet. All right, we'll start heading towards, I guess, the town square or...
Yeah, wherever. We'll let Cavendish lead us.
The same place, the sheriff's house, the same place where you were, your fate was decided, should you be executed, banished or otherwise. You see a crowd has formed and there's a lot of angry shouting, jeering going on. And tied with his hands up above him, dangling from... what would normally be a gallows where someone's hung, you see the engineer. He, as people throw tomatoes and eggs and other unpleasant rocks and other unpleasant things at him, the engineer's face is stony and expressionless. He does not seem to mind. You can see there is Bigfoot Paul standing nearby with some of the more disciplined members of his faction, and they seem to be keeping people calm, but it looks like people want to kind of rush up and then do the engineer some harm.
Okay. I guess, yeah, we'll head...
Bigfoot Paul, when towards, he sees you...
Yeah, we'll head towards Bigfoot Paul.
Yeah.
We have to make a decision now!
Of course, So, what is, I guess, the general
consensus
vibe?
Yeah.
Most of the townsfolk, the townsfolk are split. Either people don't care if he lives or dies, or people want him dead.
Hey.
Banishment, you say.
Yeah, if we take him with us, we get him out of there here. If we let him die, well...
I guess this comes to another conversation of, well, when are we leaving? We don't know when.
Well, we're still waiting around until...
Strahd's army is still on its way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, Strahd, if we could... My
vote is that you should take him. I understand that's a heavy burden for you, but, well, Pip, you kind of deserve it. And Hector, you have some experience with reforming people.
Sort of a weird backhanded... semi-compliment, I'll take it.
To turn the other cheek.
That being said, if you were to string him up, I wouldn't hold it against you, and the townsfolk would definitely love you for it.
I don't really do things for the love of the people. I do the thing that I think is the right thing to do. Can I speak to him?
Sure. Bigfoot Paul steps aside and continues trying to keep the crowd back. Mm. You approach the engineer.
Is he gagged?
He's not gagged, no. He's all just right. Strung up by his hands, which you can see a rope has been, like before, to prevent him from using his tools. Rope has been thread through the gears to stop them from turning.
So your hands, are they fully mechanical or is there part of you in there still?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Is it completely mechanical or is there... If your hands right now were to be removed, are your hands underneath that, or is it all just mechanical?
Elbows down are all mechanical devices.
How did that happen?
I lost both of them when a irate drow cut them off.
So you are flesh and blood?
For the most part, with the obvious and previously stated exception. I could show you on a diagram if you wanted.
No, it is okay.
If you're looking for a clean and painless method, I could devise a device that would separate my head neatly from my body. Uh-huh. There would be no suffering.
Uh-huh. What if I was to ask you for a device that would increase suffering?
Could you make such a device.
And you would happily make that?
Yes. I could perhaps... His fingers wiggle like he wants to write.
Uh-huh.
If I were to, with the appropriate amount of time, perhaps a day or so,
yeah.
I could create a device that could hang, draw, and quarter me.
Yeah.
I'd need some blood.
Okay.
That would keep me alive for longer. What, I could have my death last a week, two, maybe.
What if I wanted you to experience agony for decades? Could you devise a something like that?
It'd be hard to have me die at exactly a decade on, with obviously, unless I just had a quick death. But a device to cause one pain for a decade or longer could be made quite easily, yes.
And you'd happily make that for yourself?
Sure. Just why not?
Just because I asked you to.
Yeah.
Right. If I was to ask you to build a machine that was capable of taking out a vampire, could you?
A vampire-killing specific machine could be done. Okay. Is there a specific vampire you need dead?
Maybe.
It'd be easier if I knew a specific vampire.
What about, if I was to ask you to make a machine that was, that could plant crops, water them, and take care of them, harvest them?
It would take considerable, I just want to set your expectations to the right amount. A lot of these machines are I am capable of making.
Oh, yes,
given
yes, yes.
sufficient time and resources, though I'd be uncertain if Kuchery had those resources.
Right, but you could devise that, and you'd happily make one.
I don't understand the question. Yes.
Okay. And so, if I was to ask you to make something that would happily that would make people's lives more comfortable, you could make something like that.
Once again, given the correct resources, I could make almost anything.
And if I was to ask you to make a device that could kill everyone, no matter what they were, you'd do that.
I don't understand this line of questioning, but yes, given sufficient resources and time. To set your expectations, though... Yeah. Resources to create a weapon that might destroy everyone, that's considerable. I would need... He wants to move his hands again. He wiggles his fingers. Well, it's been theorized that if I were to somehow be able to split
Sorry to interrupt. So who found you first when you arrived in Barovia?
The princess, her name.
Ludmilla.
Ludmilla.
How did she find out what you could do?
Well, her men found me with the machine I made to get here. They took the machine and me straight to her. She inspected it, and I believe she was impressed. She asked me what else I was capable of, and then, a very annoying conversation began, which I must say, feeling very nostalgic for right now.
Right, I think I understand you a little bit more now. So why do you do why do you do it? If someone was to say to make those what do you call them? They were made from a werewolf, they were made from a hag, they were made from the undead.
Oh, you mean M-24, presumably F.
Yes.
It was a production line created as a warrior that would not question orders and that had the strongest capabilities of a specific type of hag, of werewolves, and of the undead creatures that... what's her name again?
Ludmilla.
Ludmilla
she was your
created.
Boss, right?
Hmm?
She was kind of your boss.
Sure.
When you were to make them, the first one, the prototype, I guess, what did she ask you to do?
After a long line of questioning, I had explained the iron golem that I can create. She asked for modifications, and I gave a list of possible ones. She added to the list. We picked, chose, and then settled on M-24-F.
Does that stand for anything? The M, the dash.
Model 24F.
So there was, okay. So why did you build it? When she asked you to make it, why did you do it?
I don't understand.
Is it a, do you, Is it a challenge? If someone offers you a problem, do you have to? Are you compelled to find the solution?
I would not say that what I do is a compulsion, no.
Even though I am to ask you, how would you destroy or make a weapon to kill everybody? You don't ask me why. You just say if it's feasible or not.
It is not for me to ask why.
What did you do before you came here?
I made weapons.
For whom?
I don't understand the question.
Who did you make weapons for?
People.
Anyone that would ask?
Anyone, sure.
Did they pay you?
Sometimes.
And sometimes you would do it for love of the game? Because you wanted to? Because you could? Because they asked?
I don't understand the question.
I thought I understood you.
Yeah, same.
So did you work for your government? You said Zemjata, yes? So
you worked to Zemjata.
Okay.
Studied under some gnomish minds. Mm-hmm. They didn't understand me, and I didn't understand them either.
Okay. So when you make the things you do that. Where do you get the ideas from? Is it all theory, or is it all practice, or both?
That's a big question, I guess. I know a lot of things, and some things require trial and effort. M-24-F is the 24th F model.
The
iteration is the key, I suppose.
When you made the M-dash models, were you just given the parts? Or did you have to experiment on were they alive when you had to experiment on them?
No, they were undead at the time, already corpses. A living subject would not have done.
Have you experimented on many living subjects?
He thinks for a sec. In my 80-year career, I've experimented on 17 live subjects.
Tell me about them.
The first three were a couple of brothers. They wanted immortality, and so I had to go through a couple of attempted iterations. Had to give up on that one when the last one died.
So they came to you, and they were a willing participant.
At first, I assume, but experimentation proved difficult. One of the most complicated things to keep alive is a brain, uh-huh. So it was in earlier stages that I had to remove them.
I see.
Whether or not they would have consented to some of the later experiments, I cannot say, though they would not have felt much pain by that point.
Well, that is something. I don't know if that is compassion or just an unintended consequence.
Not mistake it for compassion. No, it was an unintended consequence.
Yeah, well, there we go. Yeah, surmised and asked and answered. Okay, and the other live ones? Was it anyone that didn't?
There were some unwilling subjects. Warlord, a dwarf, forget his name, but he wanted like my iron golem, not dissimilar, I suppose, to what was her, the princess. Mm-hmm. Not dissimilar to her. He wanted an army of iron golem-type creatures, mm-hmm. and he gave me some prisoners of his to mm-hmm. work it on, because I said that I needed a live subject to do some experiments, but that kind of fizzled out pretty quickly. That was 4 or 5, I think.
Okay. So if I was to ask you to help us defeat Strahd, you could help us devise a plan or a machine that would do that.
Yes, I could do that.
If, say, Strahd was to capture you and he asked you to devise a machine to defeat us, you would.
I don't see why not.
Right. If you were to die, what happens to the knowledge that you have? Is there any way for anybody to get that?
My workshop has extensive design diagrams that one could go through and recreate some of my work, but there are a lot of people out there who, frankly speaking, aren't smart enough, and a lot of people out there who
honestly speaking, wouldn't care to.
And yet your workshop is here, not back where you're from.
I have one, had, he looks up at the abattoir, had one here, and I have one back on the material plane.
How about this then, Miller? Say another vampire, or someone else, another powerful lord, warlord, whatever. And then there is a myself, and I am asking you to build something to help me defeat the warlord. And the warlord is asking you to help build something to defeat me. What are you doing?
He looks at you like the answer is simple, like you've asked a dumb question. I'd build both.
And if you had to choose, you had to pick one.
Well, I guess I'd make a machine that could do both. Wouldn't be hard, I suppose, depending on the warlord, but I can surmise that there's very few individuals that, if I built something to kill them, couldn't also kill you. I don't like theoretical questions
I'm gathering you're yes.
It's, do you there's ever, no mathematics to it. I don't understand the point.
Do you ever lose?
Hmm?
Do you ever lose?
What would I lose?
I guess that answers that question. I will be right back.
Okay.
One last question. Why do you not care what happens to you?
Why would I?
Never thought about it like that. Do I still have, like, I still have some of the Taroka cards. Like, I think I did have.
I forget what ones you do and don't have.
I think I got a lot
Cribbit
of them to Cribbit.
Has but some of them.
Yeah.
I suspect you, I can't remember either, because it's been a long time. Yeah. But I suspect you have the ones relevant to this part of the
I think
the
I would have.
That
the,
seems right.
All right. So, yeah. I'll just reach into my pocket and grab the engineer one,
mm-hmm.
his one.
Yep.
And I would like to maybe just put it to his, like, eye line, mm-hmm. and be like, I was given this by a seer who said that I would find you and that you could help me. What do you have to say about that, about destiny, about fate, about your fate?
Destiny is for people who haven't the mathematics for hope.
I will be right back. I go back to our group of Bigfoot Paul, Cavendish, mm-hmm. and Pip, who else is there, really?
I think it's just us.
It's just the, yeah. Okay.
What's right. the verdict?
I hate to say this, but I actually don't know.
Hey, that's okay.
You can ask him to build a weapon to kill everybody, and he will do it.
Right.
You could ask him to build a machine that could probably feed everybody, and he would do it.
Okay.
You just need to ask him.
Yeah.
I don't know how he... You give him a problem, he will give you the solution.
No loyalty, I'm assuming. No
Less
loyalty.
Of a man, more of a tool.
Yeah, so if he doesn't fall into the wrong hands, fabulous. But
yes.
If somebody else gets a hold of him, we're fine.
Yes. So, for example, if we were to take him with us, what happens if the devil himself gets a hold of him? What happens if someone else gets a hold of him? What happens if someone like... I think the problem here is that he was found by Ludmilla first.
Yeah.
If he had been found by, say... the people of Kresik, I think the werewolf problem would not be a problem.
Yeah.
So would their, I didn't in quote, elf problem.
Right, yeah.
At one hand, he would probably devise something that would have taken out the werewolves, but then the moment the person in charge asks them about something else that me and you might find absolutely reprehensible, he will do it.
Mm.
So, what do we do with a man like that?
There's a lot one can square away when you forget about scale, I suppose. But a tool is as dangerous as its wielder. And while this tool could fall into anyone's hands, I feel like we would have bigger problems if it could. If Strahd takes the engineer, it's because we can no longer grasp the hilt. It's also worth noting that... Mm. As powerful as this, as these machines are, we beat him once. It's not like he's unkillable.
I start maybe rubbing my snout a little bit. So the good thing is, I don't think he will betray us.
No,
it is not in. He's not.
It's
well,
not
if you've if you've got no loyalty, there's nothing to betray.
Yeah. Like he's not going to just do something that we don't want him to do.
Yeah, well, he's not really on our side. He's on no one's side.
He's on the side in of himself.
Yeah.
I would, yes, I would take him as the lesser of two evils. But I would caution that those who pick the lesser of two evils tend to forget they're picking evil.
Yeah.
Make of that what you will.
Well, look at the halfling. I'm like, I don't even know if you could call him evil. I think he just does whatever someone asks him to.
Yeah.
A scythe, you can use that to thresh wheat. You can use it to behead a man. And he would help you build one that was efficient at both.
Another option, if he's willing to build anything, I mean, there are other dark places than this.
Yeah.
Send him somewhere else. Build a machine to get you out of Barovia into another dark place that's easier than returning to the material plane. Make him someone else's problem.
Just kick the can down along the road.
Yeah.
I would rather kill him than do that.
Sure.
I just think that is...
You could build him... You could make him build himself a prison?
I don't want to be... Could we...
Or we take him. And the moment things start to go wrong, it's an arrow in the head.
Yeah, could we make something where it is something even simpler, like we have a kill switch for him so that he doesn't fall in the wrong hands?
Well, that's an option as well.
I looked to John about that one.
He shrugs. He doesn't value this person's life, but he sees them as a valuable tool.
Either way, we should probably get him out of Kutri. It doesn't seem like we're going to kill him.
No. Let's not kill him.
All right. Tell Bigfoot Paul, I guess, the decision.
Okay. All right. I'll let him down. Matilde's house, Pavel's wife, it's outside of the town. He'll be safe there. Mm. So long as I understand what this creature is like, but I would still ask that you keep one of yours watching him constantly.
Yeah, of course.
Even if it's just Piran. Just someone there, maybe not Piran to act as a conscious, but someone there to just to keep an eye, I suppose.
We would never leave him unguarded.
Thank you.
I can't imagine putting down a man like him.
Hey, you need a rest. You look fucked.
Yeah.
Go find a bed.
Yeah.
Battle fatigue is something I have a lot of experience with.
Yeah.
I have a patented method. Come with me and I'll help.
Thank you. We need to rest and prepare for whatever is coming.
If the enemy's at the gates, I'll get you.
Thank you.
Cavendish takes you to a fine end, the tavern, and the Burgomaster's men have cleared out of this area. The peace, though uneasy, is enough that the Burgomaster feels safe to return to her house. Mm-hmm. Or what's left of it. It's probably been looted.
Yeah.
But anyway, a fine end is currently empty, actually. There's no one here right now. John Cavendish sits you down in front of the bar, and then he goes behind the bar. He rummages around for a little bit, and then he comes out with the first glass that you have seen in Kutri, and then he pours an amber liquid into it. Just a little, just a shot worth.
Mm-hmm.
Drink that.
It's rude to drink alone, John.
He pours himself. He takes the second glass that you've seen in Kutri out, pours himself a little bit.
Yeah.
He, raising his glass, says, to a fine end.
To destiny, real or not.
You clink glasses, he drinks his, you drink yours. Step one. Step two, and then he pours another shot for you, for you and him, I guess. And yep. While this one's percolating, I'm going to work on step three. He goes into the kitchen and comes out with, he just bakes some potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
You have it with butter and with maybe bacon as well. Yeah, there'd be bacon. You have it with butter, with bacon, and with a very sour cream.
But wow, the first meal isn't bitter.
It's hot.
Easy come, easy go.
In a place like Barovia, a hearty, warm meal is a blessed thing indeed.
Mm.
And after the burning liquid, it was not nice liquid.
No,
it was not
nice
alcohol that you drank, but it was strong.
Hey.
And after that rot gut has burnt its way down your throat, it is a nice, soothing thing to have a warm meal. After you've had your feed, step four, follow me. He goes around a fine end and collects every blanket he can. He piles them into his arms and into your arms. And then you both, waddling underneath them, make your way back to the HQ. You can see the HQ is also part triage as well. So there are a lot of wounded and people who have been hurt in all the fighting. We hand these out. You go from person to person offering warm blankets. Everyone accepts. With every blanket given, Hector, if you want, you can give a part of the heaviness with you. Once you're done with that, you go back. Step five is one more drink. And you go back to a fine end. Step five is one more drink. And then finally, the two of you retire for the night. If, Hector, you chose to give away a heavy part of your heart with every blanket, you sleep as peacefully as your first night here.
It just drops like a stone.
Oh, yeah. Bang. Into the bed. Can I find a quiet moment with Bigfoot Paul? Is that even possible on the, in the kind of rebuilding that's happening?
In the wee hours of the morning, at sometime like 4 a.m., Bigfoot Paul does need to eventually slow down, or there's just fewer and fewer jobs that he is required for. So it takes a while, but yes, you can find a quiet moment with him. You find him walking along the walls. He's here, you know, patrolling for any approaching enemies, but actually it's him having, he's sought a quiet moment and you find him there.
I hope I'm not interrupting.
No, not at all.
Maybe I stop and kind of hope that he stops as well, so we can just sit or just sort of rest against the battlements rather than walking around.
Sure, he does that.
I don't know if I ever asked you, Paul, but who were you before this?
A long time ago, I was just Paul, I guess. Paul of Appleville. But, gosh, gods.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, a lifetime, really. Maybe two. Who knows? At this point, it could be as more than I could count. Who knows what it's like back home now?
I stare out like into the night down the mountain. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I never asked you where you're from. I should have.
Well, I suppose there's a lot of things we should have done. He leans against the battlements like you. There's a million regrets that we all carry with us.
You were sweet, Paul. And there's so little sweetness here. I shouldn't have left you behind.
He puts a big hand on your shoulder. Well,
that's how it is. I kind of reach around as well. Maybe I put a hand on his shoulder too. And maybe I bring him in for an embrace and I kiss him on the cheek.
He kisses you back on the cheek.
Good luck with Kuchery. You should probably turn in. It's 4 a.m. Find somebody else.
Nah, even the dogs know not to bark at me. We're safe as long as I'm on the walls.
Oh, Paul. I'm going to turn in.
Bigfoot Paul continues his patrol.
I retire to bed as well.
Both of you are awoken early in the morning. Bah,
bah, oh, fuck. Oh, bah. Fuck. Rolling out of my, like, I'm assuming it's like sleeping in the HQ on like one of the triage beds.
Pretty much.
Roll out onto the floor, grab my crossbow, and start heading for the front lines, basically.
Everyone, every named character.
Yep. I'll leave the Virgin Master's house.
What happened?
Oh, my middle God.
Right,
that's
right.
So we'll funny, towards running out, pipsing, and leave the Burger Master's house.
What? Okay. All right.
Whatever.
Okay, interesting. She make you wear that? Never mind. I don't want to know.
You've somehow got your armor on backwards.
Okay, whatever. Is that a hickey? Anyway,
it's not up to me.
A hickey. Oh. God. I feel like... Yeah, anyway. we don't need to get into the specifics of anything that might have happened there. Anyway... Every named character finds each other at the on their way to the Northern Gate. The Northern Gate is where you're being summoned to, which you both find as odd. That would not be where an
it's
army
not like up the mountain, is it?
Yeah, that's no, like, that's the direction that the Amber Temple is.
Oh, that's even worse. Oh fuck.
Well, maybe it's just that golem.
Yeah, that's true. The golem's finally made it down the mountain.
It's not.
Okay.
You can see Bigfoot Paul standing on the battlements. There's dozens of people, dozens of his men and the Burgomaster's men on the battlements with crossbows pointed at some unseen foe. You look up at Bigfoot Paul. Bigfoot Paul looks down at you, and he, with a hand and with a grave expression, he gestures for you to climb up onto the battlements with him.
Okay. I have one question, or two questions. Mm-hmm. One, levels of exhaustion.
Yeah.
Am I back to two, or is it more so?
You are on three levels of exhaustion.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much.
Hearing the Barovian marching powder, you should not have had that.
Yeah. Well, because that's going to my next. Less of a question,
yeah,
and more of a hearing the sound. Can I make those my levels of exhaustion back to nothing?
What? Why? Oh, marching powder. All right, but this is your last.
This is your last bump.
Because I imagine if I'm hearing the sounds of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh no. If needs must.
Yeah. You know what? No. Am I going to be kind? Should I be kind to you?
It would be nice of you.
What will you give
me? You're so often rude.
Oh my god. Well, never let it be said that I didn't do anything nice. Quick siesta. You gain the benefit of a long rest during a short rest.
Oh, baby! Okay. Woo. Phew.
Everyone gets the benefit of a long rest.
Oh, thank god.
And in exchange, I will take something from you at a later point.
It's not even a deal we get to be part of. Mm. Just one of your many cruel machinations.
So actually, Hector, and if this changes, you still only have one bump left, but if this changes things, it changes things. You are on only one level of exhaustion.
Okay. But I feel...
One level's not too bad.
One level's not too bad, and we've also now, we feel invigorated.
Yeah, exactly.
So, probably not.
Anyway.
With Bigfoot Paul's gesturing, I climb the wearily, I guess now a little bit exhausted. Mm. I will climb the battlements.
Pip, you join?
Yeah, absolutely.
Once you climb to the battlements,
what
you see
it? What is it?
Quite a strange sight. Leading a horse is a single man. He is immediately you mark him as a dusk elf.
Okay.
He has that ashy color to his skin and the elven features, which you can see he is obviously, when I say Elainiel's kin, I mean like he is a dusk elf.
Yeah, for sure.
He's a dusk elf. You can see he wears two things, a very expensive looking set of clothes, like a, not nobility level, but just below, like a lord or lady.
Okay.
He wears, a very expensive set of clothes and a very haughty expression.
How far away are they? Like, can we make out
He is approaching you. You can see he's quite clearly come from the steps up to the Amber Temple.
Uh-huh. So, like, we can see features and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you can see him well enough, yeah.
Can I recognize him? Because I think I might recognize him from...
I forgot you have seen that painting. You don't even need to roll. No, you recognize him. It's Rahadin.
It is
Strahd's butler and manservant.
It is the devil's butler.
What the fuck? I guess everybody is training their spears and bows and crossbows.
People are treating this as if this is the army.
Yeah.
That is his...
I look behind him, honestly.
And then I would
look across, because we're on like a high point.
Yeah.
See if I can look across Kuchery to the other gate in the hope that we've not been tricked and that we're being attacked while we're focusing here.
You can't really see the other way, but you can tell that Bigfoot Paul has kept people stationed everywhere.
Yeah,
it's not unmanned.
I can't really hear, I guess, the sounds of combat or anything.
Yeah.
And
you don't hear the sounds of combat.
Yeah, sure.
It's quiet enough this morning that you would know.
Okay.
So he is also a vampire?
No.
No? Okay.
He's just a dusk elf.
He's just a dusk elf. Okay. Trying to remember those like the diagram, the drawings of Andrichton and that kind of stuff. Was anything like be wary, very powerful? He's a magic user.
Yeah.
He's of Van Richten's notes. He would have noted that Rahadin is a capable warrior.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not like he's not just a manservant.
Mm.
He's not a assassin or bodyguard, really. Not that Strahd really needs either of those things anyway.
Mm.
He's just a capable fighter.
Okay.
That would have been noted. And then also you would have seen at some point in the notes, you would have seen just the word screaming ?
Okay.
That exactly means, you're not sure.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
All right.
Right, well, be prepared for...
I am.
I don't know what
what he'll do.
Rahadin approaches within earshot and still dismounted. Actually, if anything, maybe Rahadin leaves the horse behind and then continues to approach without the horse. Mm-hmm. He gets to the gates, not up to the gates, but past earshot. Wait, what am I saying?
Within? Yeah.
No, he was already, having already been in earshot, he moves close enough that no one needs to yell.
Okay, is what yeah, I, sure, yeah. sure.
He clears his throat. He clears his throat again. Big football is uncertain. Yeah.
What's your business here?
Are you Hector the Beautiful?
No, that that is me.
Beautiful.
He reaches into his cloak where his coat is, and everyone gets really tense for a second. Instead of pulling out a weapon, he pulls out a scroll, which he unfurls before him.
Baron Strahd von Zarovich, Lord of Barovia, to Hector the Beautiful, esteemed sir, I extend to you a formal invitation to join me for a private dinner at Castle Ravenloft. The gathering will take place in the dining hall, where we shall indulge in fine cuisine and discourse. Your reputation precedes you, and it would be a privilege to host you within the ancient walls of Ravenloft. Transportation arrangements have been made with my butler and manservant, Rahadin. Please leave at your earliest convenience to ensure preparations are made accordingly. With great anticipation, Baron Strahd von Zarovich.
What?
Thanks for listening to Season 3 of Vampire Infested Barovia. Don't worry, Hector and Pip will be back later this year to continue the fight against Strahd. But until then, Cass and Handsome Tom will return to grace your ears for our next exciting campaign.